the subject that I am asked to share with you, and I gather it's the subject for the entire weekend, is as on screen. That is to say, together we can embrace, well, I added the word together there, embrace abundant joy. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to challenge your mind as you think through it, break it up, analyze it. And by the way, you have there a handout that I've prepared for you so you can make some salient notes. May I see you wave them to me if you have them? Wonderful. Good. Some have not had. I'm so sorry. Because I actually prepared it so you would have the sermon notes so you can follow and take back something with you. And we're going to be looking at family relational health. And what are some of the vital signs? What are some of the vital signs that we need to be aware of? Now, let me begin by challenging the church. I want to make what I consider a serious challenge. And that is to say, from my practice as family counselor over the years, going 32 now, nearly every time I'm invited wherever around the world, it's prefaced with something like this. Well, you know, the families are in trouble so much, the husbands and wives and the parents and the children, it's always coming over with a bemoaning, a quarrel, as it were, what's happening to these people, why are they living so bad, and so on and so on. But did you know that no one ever quarrels, so to speak, about people getting ill? It is normal and acceptable to be ill physically. But when we're ill relationally, there seem to be a big issue. Now, somebody might not be connected with me. Let me help you to be connected. I want you to notice what I said on the screen. To the church member and leadership at large, that we're to cease from bemoaning and decrying the state of relational malaise that is affecting the many families of the church and community. When we cease, what should we do instead? We should arm them. That is the members with what, church? The knowledge of God. What else? Knowledge of oneself. So begin to apply now to yourself. What else do we need to be armed with? Knowledge of human relationships. And equip them with what? Family relational skills. Because by virtue of the fact that we live in a world of sin, both our bodies and our minds will be affected by sin. And relationships, as you will take your note now, when you look there and you see what I call my position statement, that is, all human relationships, whether it be marital, parental, fraternal, that is brotherly, sororal, that's sisterly, familial, other family members, collegial, those who you work with, and your social friends, all relationships begin and continue to exist where? In the mind. Our ability to embrace, now this is our topic, our ability to embrace and maintain abundant joy, watch this church, depends to a large degree on the quality of what? Our relational health. Now that might be, that concept of relational health might be new to some thinking, but as we proceed, you'll get it. So again, we say that our ability to maintain abundant joy depends to a large degree on the quality of our relational health, which itself is dependent on what? The state and function of our mind. Look here. When you meet him, her, and you reach out to shake hand, or you smile, or you do not reach out to shake hand, or whatever response you gave, where did that processing begin? In the mind. So the relationships, all human relationships, that's my anchor point. And I'd like you to hold that. All human relationships that we want to have abundant joy with depends to a large degree on the state and function of the mind, because all relationships begin and continue to exist in the mind. That now is our anchor statement. We talk about health. I might have shared this years ago, I don't know when I came here, but we basically have two, shall we say, kinds of health, want of a better expression, or physiological health. That's what is dealt with over there, by and large, or physiological health. That is to say, the state and function of the, wonderful, I love to hear responsive congregation, the state and function of the body. But then there is also, what are the health? Our psychological health, which is what, church? The state and function of the mind. And it is in the mind, as we've already said, and we shall repeat it as we proceed, that all human relationships begin and exist in. So, that we've established that, we're thinking now. Together, we can embrace abundant joy depending on the state of our minds with each other. You begin to do some introspective work now. Here you go. Well, in that case, let me think of the significant him or her or them where they are now as I sit here in my mind. How is that relationship? Do I, this is you speaking, do I experience this abundant joy with him, with her, with them? Or if you don't want to, you want to use abundant joy, you want to use the scale of 1 to 10, how is that joy that you experience with him or her, with them, on that scale of 1 to 10? I'm going to share with you what I call 7 key thoughts on embracing this abundant joy. 7 key thoughts. And you'll notice the key is right in the head, the mind, because that's where it is. All relationships. Now, let's first of all look at some synonyms. So, you know, we preach and we teach and we counsel and we do all of it one time. Let's so we can really connect. It's important you connect. Let's look at some synonyms for abundant joy. We're talking about, when we talk about abundant, just to repeat now, we're talking about plentiful joy. By the way, you're asking yourselves, am I experiencing plentiful joy with him, with her? Copious. What's that one? Profuse. Ample. Overflowing. Bountiful. Do I hear somebody saying, but does anyone really enjoy that? Oh, I heard yes. Praise the Lord. God has never left his house without a witness. So then I can be bold enough to say, those who can say amen, say amen. Reality is, by virtue of the fact that we live in a sinful world, not everyone will truly be able to say amen. But that's the purpose of the church. The church is to bring healing. Are you with me, church? The church is to bring hope. Where if there's just perchance there's someone who cannot say amen, then hopefully by the end of the service, and you allow your mind to be led by the Holy Spirit, you can deep within you say, amen, Lord, thank you, I came today. Now, let's look at joy. What are we talking about? Talk to me, church. Happiness. Remember now, you're checking your old self. How am I with this? Happiness and delight and what's that? bliss in a relationship in this world? Yes. Gladness, exaltation, and pleasure. So we know what we're talking about now. Plenteous of all of this abundant joy. Now here is key thought number one. You know, when I shared this with someone yesterday, the person said, my daughter, in fact, said, Daddy, this is painful. Here's the facts. Ever since the entrance of sin, and you want to feel it now, sustained abundant joy has been an elusive dream of the human family. Notice my adjective, though. Sustained. That's why, in I think it is number 440 in our hymnal, our cheering is a Christian's hope. Well, that stanza is not in our present hymnal, but the stanza that says, in that fair land where happiness shall come, and that without alloy. Let's just look at that quickly. It says, in that land we're going, there will be happiness, and that without alloy. What's an alloy? An alloy is a mixture. I'm no chemist, but I know some of you here, you understand the concept. An alloy is a mixture. Once you mix any original element, am I going right? Once you mix it with something else, it's not the original. Isn't that correct? Now let's apply that. Let me leave chemistry. I can't dabble in that too long. Here's a fact. You and I know. Well, is there anyone here who has never been happy? Please don't show your hand. I know that all of us have had some happiness. But I also know, Lord, well, Della, let me speak for us. We've had down times. Anybody else can connect with we too? We've had times when we're not happy. And guess what? Sometimes after we were not happy, praise the Lord, something's going to happen again and we get back happy. But you know something? We don't stay happy again because something happens and we go back. Are you there with me? So we're always experiencing this alloy. But God be praised, one day happiness shall come and it will have no alloy. But until then, we've got to learn how to live now. So let's go back to our key thought. Ever since the entrance of sin, sustained abundant joy has been what, church? An elusive dream. It's not yet, but thank God Jesus is coming and he's bringing it with him. What do you say? Let me proceed. Key thought number two. Two of the greatest inhibitors to the experience of what again, church? Abundant joy. Two of the greatest inhibitors are ignorance and insensitivity. Now, let's get closer home now. I suggest to you on the authority of God's word and human research that the most destructive force in human relationship, what is it, church? The teacher in me is beginning to come out. I'd like to hear you filling in the blank, but let's proceed. What is it? There it is. Now, come on, read with me. That the most destructive force in human relationship is what? Ignorance. And ignorance here simply means, did I hear somebody preaching with me? Lack of knowledge. And it is there. Let's anchor this as proof. Hosea chapter 4, God laments the state of his children Israel. What does it mean to lament? Cry, good, to bemoan. And this is what God says, my people, talk with me, church, are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. But when I paraphrase that same text and apply it directly to us as family, this is what I come up with. That many families have been destroyed. Why, church? Lack of knowledge. That was. Did I bring you bad news that you already know? That is to say, many families, even as we're speaking, I don't know, by the way, let me say this now. I do not know who is listening to me now. From a counseling therapist perspective, let me say this. Maybe something is going to come out here today that my characteristic way of saying it hits you straight between the eyes. But if that happens, say thank God for an opportunity to help me open up the wound and get healing by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. So let me proceed to say, even as we speak, because of the preponderance of sin, many families are being destroyed. Lack of knowledge. And if you think that was bad because we talked about the past, many have been, many are, God forbid, your bright English students. Can you tell me what next? Many families will be destroyed. But I want to challenge you as you sit here today. If by any chance you be in the category that just went by, you're the healing center, and you can, by the grace of God, prevent moving into this next category. Am I still coming clear, church? Many will be destroyed. And you know, remember, all of this is because of the state of mind. Very good. I see more handouts are coming. So, let me say this. All of us as family members need to be aware of the vital signs of your relational health. Vital signs? Did you say vital signs? But you're not talking about pulse and heartbeat and breathing rate. Oh, because those are vital signs of the BODY. But there are vital signs of the relational MIND. How do I know that I'm in a healthy relationship with him? Or, let's call a spade, or that my relationship is not healthy? You should not operate in ignorance. You should know what the facts are. And by the way, let me push the button now. To the same extent that when you feel that pain here, in your finger, in your eyelash, deep inside, and when you try your home remedies, when you try your Band-Aid, and you feel that the pain continues to exist and you're scared that you're going to say it, die. You know what you do? It doesn't matter how your work is, whether the boss wants to give you the time off or not, you're going to find the medical doctor who can help you live. Come on, church, say amen, it's the truth. Now let me tell you something. One of the dangers with family relational health is that in as much as we feel that emotional pain, that disturbance, and some persons would rather die before they seek help. Let me go on to key thought number 3. Watch, please. And you have it on your, you want to fill in a blank. Emotions are to the mind, come on, church, as nerves are to the correct. You got it right. Help me now, Holy Spirit, and you open your heart to the Holy Spirit as he impresses you with the truth. Emotions are to the mind, and remember now, relationship is in the mind. Emotions are to the mind as nerves are to the body. What are you talking about? Let's talk a little about relationship. What's that? Relationship. By the way, everybody here is in a relationship. Ah. You see, we have narrowed this concept of relationship sometimes because of the way our society teaches us to conjugal relationship. But the fact, in fact, you and I are in a relationship right now. Hello, church. Because I believe with all my heart that 99.99% of you are trying to connect with me. Well, Lord, that's a... And I don't know if there's anyone here who's just trying to say, why don't he finish quickly? Let me get out of here. I really don't think you're here. But let's look what we're talking about. Relationship is the process of engaging one mind with or against another mind. Hello? So that when you connect with him or her, oh, this is a beautiful evidence of relationship. There's evidently some connection with her. And you know what I'm talking about? But there comes the time, God forbid, but because we live in a real world, look at me, church, when you see him, maybe some of you have never had this experience, I hope you don't, when you see her, or when you hear his or her name, or just the very thought of him or her, your saliva thickens, angina pectoris sometimes begin. You're getting annoyed, and some person say, just the very thought of him turn me loose. Truth is, you are in a relationship, but it is against. Did I still come clear? By the way, church is to help us to open our hearts to ourselves and to God. That's the purpose of this presentation. So, how you interact or how you interrelate with each other determines the quality of the relationship if you will have abundant what? Joy. What's this mind you keep talking about? Because every time you say mind, you put your finger up here. And certainly when we say mind, we touch the head. Now, we need to split hair a little. Split hair. Because the brain and the mind are not totally synonymous. Have you ever thought of that? The brain is this mass of nerve and tissue. How many billion cells are in there locked away in this bony box? That's the brain. So what is this mind? Well, it's on your screen. The human consciousness that originates with your church in the brain and is manifested especially. Help me with these now, for we're getting on down now. That's manifested through what? Come on now, check yourself. Through thoughts, through perception. Give me that middle one. Through what? Break. And you and I know that emotion is to the mind as nerve is to the body. We'll soon come to connect that. Our will, our memory, all this, we refer to the faculty. When David says in Psalm 139 verse 14, I will praise thee. Come on, those of you who know it, repeat it with me. I will praise thee. Why? Because I'm fearfully and then this is it now. Marvelous are thy works, O Lord. Watch this. I'm going to do it in slow motion. And that my soul, meaning my mind, my soul knoweth right how? well. Truth be told, because sin is a mental disease, inasmuch as we know right well, we always don't stick to it. Is there a human being down there who knows what I'm saying? So now let's take key thought number 4. Keep jotting in as you go. To the same extent that some persons' bodies, beginning with mine, I know, are affected by peripheral neuropathy, some families are affected by emotional neuropathy. Now, for the younger ones, yes, what's that? Well, look at this screen. Some of you older ones, you know what that screen is saying already. And I heard you, sister. Thank you. Damaged nerve. When the nerve endings are damaged, they are not able to pick up the sensation. Connect with me and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind now. When the nerves are damaged, they are not able to pick up the sensation that they ought to. And you, I'm not going to go talk about receptors and synapses and all of those. I am just saying the layman, and I know that what I just said, by and large, connected with you. And if he didn't come clear enough, the Holy Spirit will illuminate what I say for your mind, because you need to get it. Watch, please. In the mind, do some self-examination now. There are damaged emotions. Oh Lord, this is getting sensitive now. But that's what the church is for. By the way, remember, the church is not a rest bed for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Is that right? Amen, church? Good. So that's why the church ought to speak like this. It's a hospital for sinners. And some of you heard, know the rest of it, but just in case there's somebody here who doesn't know the rest of that thought, let me quickly share it and run on. It says, the church is not a rest bed for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And when you get healed, you do not get discharged, you join the staff. So when you come to church, and God heal you, when the Holy Spirit arrests you and say, that's true, and you say, thank God, I'm so glad I went today, you are not discharged. You ought to join the staff and go back out and say to somebody, come and see and taste. That's called witnessing. What do you say, church? But we know that there are some damaged emotions. By the way, it's time for you to stop thinking about him or her and say, Lord, are any of these damaged emotions in my mind towards him, her? Because if these emotions are damaged, then I know I cannot experience, come on, preach, church, abundant joy. Let me talk a little about sensitivity. Beloved, you know the book Song of Solomon that so many persons, you know, well, a younger group, hope I'm still right, would like to quote some verse from it and send to her and send to him. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? When I look at your face and when I look in your eyes and... Let me tell you something. God used that servant of his to highlight the fact, one, that our emotions are gifts from God. And he does not intend us to stultify our emotions. Listen to me carefully now. But they are to be expressed properly in the right setting as he, God, dictates. So, the counselor is saying to you, Do not trample on your emotion. One of the reasons that so many relationships cannot experience abundant joy, some of us, help me Lord, calculatedly. Me no, sir, I'm supposed to be nice to him, yes, but. So you crush your emotion. Let me show you something. God wants us to experience sensitivity. And sometimes we use words wrongly, so let me help and see if I can show you something. Notice the arrow. We are to be sensitive. Our feelings must register the truth, and we must, in an affirming way, express how I really feel. Am I there with you? Don't sit down in it, but look here now. There are two extremities to sensitivity. Remember, all of this is based in the human mind. Two extremes. What are they? Insensitivity. Help me, Lord. We're talking about why some people cannot experience abundant joy. There are some family members, and God help that you are not one, but if you are, then you need to repent, who practice insensitivity. What do you mean by this insensitivity? You said something to him. You said something to her. You did not do what should have been done. And when he or she, the human in him or her, complains, your response is, so what? And you know, the younger people say, you give an attitude. That's being insensitive. And some family members live under the pall of insensitive family members. But you know, on the other extreme, there's the hypersensitive. Oh Lord. If you are to say something to him or her, you have to rehearse 1,000 times. Well, all right. Let me see now. When it come, I'm going to say, no. If I said, it's going to get upset, so no, I'm going to say. And sometimes, God forbid, those sensitive situations are pushed, come on, preach, pushed where? Under the proverbial carpet. And the relationship goes down, down. Am I still with you, church? So we're to avoid the extremes, because some persons seem to wear a lock. Lord, help me with this. Some persons seem to wear a padlock in their minds. Me, until six person carry me out of church, I'll never talk to him again. Yeah. By the way, I'm not speaking hypothetically. It's 32 years I'm in family counseling. And I have a family lab of real people. Dolores, Delphine, Delphinette, my daughter-in-law, Esther, my son-in-law, Andrew, and my grandson. They make up my lab, and they are real people. Plus, they have me to deal with. Because I'm a real person too. I trust you still are. Okay. So what I'm saying here is common human language. That's right. Let me go on. Beloved. Number 5. Key thought number 5. The biblical psychotherapy. You see, that's what I practice as a counselor. Psychotherapy. But I'm also a Christian counselor. Praise the Lord. The biblical psychotherapy for emotional neuropathy is found in Ephesians 4:32. Come on, church, read. And be ye kind. What's that word? No, look here. You have got to address your mind in order to be kind. Hey, that sounds nice. I'll run it again. You've got to address your mind to be kind. In other words, kindness is not natural with Anthony Gordon. To be kind, we know as Christians the Holy Spirit has to inspire it in you. Because Paul says, in me there is no natural good thing, because sin reigns within me. Am I coming to you, church? Thank God. By the way, we ought to give credit to the Holy Spirit whenever that, you know, my mind tell me say, attribute that to the work. Now, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is still connecting with you. Come on, say amen. Although he hurt me, my mind just tell me say, sometimes, you know, God is still working with you. We must be kind. What else we must be, church? Tender-hearted. I have no doubt I must have used this text here, but you were not here, so I'm going to ask you something. That text say we're to be, that verse one say we're to be what? Tender-hearted. Since we're talking about therapy. Therapy? You don't say tender-hearted. If you really want to be tender-hearted, then you have got to go down in your soul and bring it up. In other words, it must move from your cognitive domain. That is to say, oh, of course, you know we ought to be tender-hearted. We know where to be. Hello, church? Because you're intelligent. Oh, that's good stuff he preached today. No. Oh, man, that was right. Thanks. But until it moves from your cognitive domain into the affective, where you go deep in your soul and say, I really need to be tender-hearted to you. Some people have to be broken to get that out. Because life has made some of us, our minds have been burned so badly. And speaking clinically now, we're not blaming, because some of us have been exposed to some brutal experiences in life. Traumatic. And it's difficult to be tender-hearted. But thanks be to God, inspiration shines true. Every inherited or cultivated tendency can be overcome by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. So don't you sit there and say, Elder, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know what I got through, you know. I heard you, and I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. That's why you're here today. So let's wind down as we talk about detoxification. Biblical detoxification of the mind. We need to do that. We need to experience that before we can experience an infusion. Hello? Of abundant joy. So look here. Don't just sit there and hope that, well, you know, a switch is going to be flicked and I will just be good and nice. No, you have got to be detoxified. Those negative emotions that might be there, the Holy Spirit of God must clean you out and do replacement therapy. So, when you're detoxified, let's see what needs to come out of you. Look here, church. Look. You know what needs to come out? Talk with me, church. Malice. Guile. Hypocrisy. Envies. Evil speaking, and you can run the list. Look. There is no abundant joy, happiness. Hello. Simplicity. When you call that word for me again, what's that word? Simplicity. And here's another S one. Sincerity. Man, you cannot. Well, some of us, I hate to have to say this, some of us can be good hypocrites. But look here. You could give that plastic smile some more. One day the truth is going to come out. You need to be detoxified. Let me close by showing you the text we read. You see, I put the two texts together. David says, and this is you speaking as well as Anthony Gordon, yeah, there are times when I feel disquieted, yeah, deep in me. But then the answer is, let this, are you still with me, church? Let this relational, and I put it in parenthesis, let this relational mind, because Jesus had the supreme relational mind, isn't that right? Even when Peter, who said, Lord, nobody touch you. If anybody touch you, I'm going to deal with that person. When, can I use the Jamaican vernacular? When utter collapse take Peter. When utter collapse took Peter. Him dig off. Look here. But when he looked around and Jesus' eyes made four with him, he saw the relational mind of Jesus oozing out towards him. Our desire is to make the mind of Jesus come in. That's why you're here today. Say amen, church. Well, I don't, that's why I'm here. Because hear me now. Please, listen me out. I seek to eat from the same pot from which I serve you. I'm listening to what I'm preaching. Oh yes, I prepared it. But I realize that if I don't take this same treatment, because Delores and I, in as much as for 38 years, breeze can't blow between us. But because I have an independent mind and she does, we do have. No. So, well, all right. We do have. So I still need some more detoxification. How about you? Watch your screen if you will. That detoxification will only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the mind of Christ moves into us. So, beloved, together we can embrace abundant joy, but we need healing. Against that thought, I will invite you to remain seated. We're going to sing in part the closing song. It's sung to the tune of 469. So, brother, music, you can go and strike a 469. I composed the song. It's one of my songs I composed to go along with some of my presentation. I entitled it The Healing Song. While it plays softly, brother, I invite you to read the song before you sing it intelligently. In this family ship, hearts and hands combine, as we strive towards our health sublime. We to Christ belong, in this family throng. Cheerfully, we'll sing and march along. The chorus the Lord inspired me with is this: bonding, healing, strengthening relationships in Christ. Bonding, healing. And that's why you see the Bible there. We believe that when we anchor our hearts upon His holy word, the healing we want will come. What do you say, church? The second stanza says, we from day to day call His name in your mind. Now, your husband, your brother, your cousin, your whomsoever. We from day to day on life's path relate. Doing what? Living, loving, caring. And here's a hard one for some persons. What's that one? Trusting to health and happiness, Christ connectedness. Cheerfully, we'll sing along. But I want to notice carefully this stanza. Sorrow, wounds and hurts, feelings, dread and fear. Man, talk to me, church. Cleansing, purging. Oh, hello. Is that true? Oh, we need repair. But you know one of the things that is affecting some repair from taking place? Call the word. What must we do with it? We must be detoxified of it. Sacrifice it. Let Christ alone suffice. We're going to sing our closing song. You'll sing the first three stanzas seated, and I'll indicate you when we stand. Why don't we sing, brother? Singing, in this family ship, hearts and hands combine as we strive towards our... You sound good, keep it going. We to Christ belong in this family throng. Cheerfully we sing and march. Everybody, bonding, healing, strengthening relationships in. Sing, bonding, healing, anchoring hearts upon His. We from day to day on life's path relate, living, loving, caring. Health and happiness, Christ connectedness, cheerfully we sing and chorus, bond, sing church, strengthening relationships in bonding, healing, anchoring hearts upon. Brother Music, won't you, because of the nature of the third stanza, those of us who sing, we know we must sing with the correct interpretation. We need to change the mood so it reflects the truth. We're going to sing just a little more slower. Feel it now. Singing. Sorrow, wounds and hurt, feeling dread and fear, cleansing. We need a temple, bonding, healing, strengthening relationships in bonding. And I want you to notice the ultimate reason we're here. Why did we go through this presentation today? Because we have Canaan's land in view. If that now is true, then you stand in glorious anticipation that ultimately, this is you speaking, will be cleansed, I will be healed, and I will be on my way to Canaan land singing, unto Canaan's land in view with support, rapport, love. Keep it going. Body, mind, bless, fine. Health for. Carefully we sing and sing it out, church. Yes. Healing, strengthening relationships in. Sing. Healing. You to lock your heart with God and think of him, her, them, that significant person who you really want to either stay strong with, or he or she who you hope by God's grace some healing could take place in your mind first. Let us pray. Holy Lord, we thank you today that you came our way. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We are praying now, Lord, that that which happened today for my brother, my sister, will not just fade in memory, but Holy Spirit, you will arrest his heart. Arrest our heart, Lord, and bring about an experience of abundant joy. Oh God, just in case his heart, her heart, is not yet available because there is pain there, bring healing, oh God. Speak to him now. Speak to her, Lord. Arrest that mind and radiate hope in Jesus. Oh God, may, because we worship here today, our lives will never be the same, but we would have made even one notch higher in quality relationship with the significant ones in our lives. And ultimately, oh God, that relationship with you, so that we can see you in peace. Now, Lord, announce your divine benediction on all of us to the honor and glory of your name.